The Lord invites us today to fix the gaze of our spirit on this wonder, this person, this woman, without any sin, who grew exponentially in holiness every hour, her whole life long, and gaze on that to understand the meaning of our own life. The first reading, you see how these readings are meant to give us facets of this mystery so that we can enter into it. The first reading, we hear the explanation of why there is sadness and darkness and sin and suffering and war and injustice and cruelty and poverty in the world. Sin. Sin. That's important for us because the solutions that we want to bring to this world have to start with holiness and not just planning. No, we need planning. There's disobedience here of a kind, you see, that Satan initiated in his own refusal to worship God. Unimaginable, isn't it? Unimaginable. The most intelligent being after God himself in the whole universe. And he's so stupid as to refuse to obey and worship God. And he has been in that situation and will be in that situation for all eternity. What we have here is the story of how he got the human race on his side. And our struggle to stay out of that side. And so we have the consequences of the sin here. Where are you? Does God have to say that to us? You know, where are you? Are you hiding from me? Don't you understand? My son died for you. Come to me and be healed. Come to me and be forgiven. I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid. The voice of God, which is meant to bring joy, liberation, freedom, I was afraid. Who told you you were naked? I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat then of the tree from which I told you not to eat? It's in the command and the disobedience, not to swipe some fruit someplace. This is an invitation to trust. Don't do that. Don't reach out and try to master knowledge in such a way that you can do what you want and you can say whether it's good or evil. This is the temptation of our age, and it's centered around abortion. No God is going to tell me what to do. And we have wandered so far from any sense of God, century after century, that God is a cipher, it's a name, it's a, you know, disobedience. The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." Look, the very first words of a human being recorded in the Bible are, "Now at last." Now at last, there's another human being, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she's taken from man. That's a song. The whole Song of Songs in the Bible is an expose of this song of joy. And now he says, the woman you gave me. Why couldn't he have said, Lord, it's my fault. Go easy on her. It's my fault. He didn't. And so, you know, the story is the story of the mess we've been in ever since. And the enormity of the act of love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross, to lift all that. And to bring us, you know, back so that we can enter into eternal life forever. And the gate is this other woman. The two human beings who have affected the world more than any other are two women, Eve and Mary. And so this other woman, who is young, living in a town, hidden, in her day there wasn't even a road to Nazareth. Nobody wanted to go to Nazareth. And there she is, huh? And the angel comes in and says to her, rejoice, most favored one, rejoice. And she knows right away what's going on. She knows Zechariah, Zephaniah. She knows them. Rejoice, O daughter Zion. Behold, your king is coming. Addressed to this angel is there. Now, it may not be the first time angels had come to visit her, but this is Gabriel, and he has a message for her. Rejoice. Who more than Mary would appreciate the incredible suffering and darkness to which this world had condemned itself? So this call to rejoice, and she knows the texts. She knows that this is a messianic announcement. And so she was greatly troubled. And then, in the classic way that these announcements are made in the scriptures, fear not. Fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God. You have found grace in his eyes. Chen ve'anecho. You have found grace in his eyes. Behold, you will conceive and bear in your womb a son, and you shall call him Yehoshua, God saves. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And then we enter into a great mystery here. It was as though, you know, the fathers of the church and the mystics have pondered this answer. Why did she want to make a consecration of her virginity? That means no way she could be mother of the Messiah. It must have been conditional. Lord, I offer this. It's up to you to take it if you wish it. Because if her mother and father had married her off to Joseph in the normal way, she obeys her mother and father. So she asks him, you see, how can this be? Because I do not know man. And then the angel explains to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Try today when you say the rosary to ponder this. Huh? Let the reality of it get into our hearts and our minds. Huh? The Holy Spirit, just as that creation, is going to hover over you, and God will speak his word, who will dwell in your womb. So, and then the angel gives her a sign. Your kinswoman, in her old age, has conceived a son. She too is, you know, cannot conceive in the normal course of events. She's too old. And she's one of those great women, the Akarot, the barren women, whom God allows to conceive in the natural order of things. But and their son is important in salvation history. Sarah, the mother of Samson, Rebecca, Elizabeth herself. And now, when you read this text, just pray. And let your spirit just be with the Holy Spirit and listen to the yes. 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 That, you know, resounds through the universe. That's when things went from bad to salvation. She agreed. Eve disobeyed, Mary obeyed. And that's the secret of every human life. Obey. Trust. Obey. There's no way that any human preacher can mediate what happened at that yes. The Holy Spirit has got to show you himself. It reverberates still throughout this universe. Yes. The depth of that yes. I'm sure that the fathers of the church, having this spiritual experience of her yes, knew she was immaculately conceived. No sin could be anywhere near that yes. It was so pure. It was purer than Michael's or Gabriel's or anybody's. And so powerful. It echoes and imitates the yes of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity itself. That's the secret. And as we go on in 2009, remember that. The thing that turned the world around was an act of love and obedience.